This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. We're getting into chapter 22 and 23, two chapters, on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, a Vatican Assassin, the 15th anniversary edition. BC is heading back to Lunar Prime, and he meets his new nemesis of sorts, the Reverend Charlena Swan. She's the woman the Reverend assigned to whip BC into shape as a priest, supposedly. The Pope says he is blowing his cover. So, the Pope tells him this will strengthen BC's cover, but BC thinks he's just torturing him, basically. We also have the Cardinal showing up in this episode, and so many thanks again to Keith Hughes for his special cameo voice appearance as Cardinal Anderson. You can find Keith's work at penslinger.com. Before we get into the chapter, not a lot of book news, but I do have some to announce. I'm going to lower the prices on all my ebooks. I haven't really been selling that many, so I'm going to play around with the pricing and see what happens. I'm lowering the price of each novel to 99 cents, and the omnibuses will then be $2.99. So, 99 cents or $2.99 for all of my work. New ebook pricing for The Adventures of Alibi Jones and the Vatican Assassin Trilogy. If you like what you're hearing on the podcast and you want to help me keep it going, I'd appreciate any help you can give if you'd like to become a patron by heading over to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and pledging at the $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month level. Got people who do each of the above, so many thanks to you if you are a patron. If you're part of the few, the proud, the supporters of Glow in the Dark Radio, I definitely appreciate it. You have helped me going through some really rough times where, you know, if I didn't have your support, this probably wouldn't have kept going. So patrons are awesome, and they have helped me keep everything flowing here, helped me keep my science fiction coming out. So you should thank them as well. Again, to get in on that, you can go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to my site, glowinthedarkradio.com, and just click on the Patreon link. Patrons right now are getting these chapters above 4 weeks ahead of you. So there are benefits to being a patron. All right, we're going to get into two chapters, chapters 22 and 23. A Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, next on Glow in the Dark Radio. Before that, I want to celebrate the return of Flash Pulp. They kind of took a vacation from Flash Pulp while the pandemic was going on. But Flash Pulp has returned with Mulligan Smith in the Frankenstein Market. Part 1 of 3 is up. Welcome back, Flash Pulp.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's three apocalypses in one.
Yeah!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Carwick the Spider God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those out. Nosy neighbors, infect them with the murder plague. and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 22 of Vatican Assassin on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC takes a short hopper from Rome to Panama. In Panama, he discovers his shuttle leaves for Lunar Prime in just over an hour. Let's see if I can board the ship now, early. Be nice to settle in for the trip ahead. His collar and credentials provide him with quick and easy access to the ship well ahead of the other passengers. He boards almost immediately. The passenger cabin is empty. Most of the attendants aren't even aboard yet. BC finds his way to his seat, puts his carry-ons away, and stretches out to grab some sleep before takeoff. Nice. Sometimes I feel like someone really is looking out for me. BC lies back on the reclining acceleration couch with his eyes closed, hovering on the edge of sleep. The passenger cabin is mine alone for the next half an hour. Ah, the gift of blissful silence. BC is jarred awake as someone bounces into him. The passenger cabin is full of people stowing luggage, squeezing past each other in the aisle, and one of them has just plopped into the seat next to his, bumping into and waking him up in the process. Wonderful company. A sickly sweet floral smell assaults his nose. What is that? Roses dying in the sun? Is that perfume? My God, I'm gonna gag.
Hi there. I guess we're seatmates. I'm Charlena. Charlena Swan. Reverend Swan, actually. I'm with the church. Oh, look, you are too. Well, hello there, Father.
BC closes his eyes. He opens them back up and focuses. Tall black woman, sky blue shirt with a clerical collar, leaning forward, trying to push carry-on luggage into a space too small for it under the seat in front of her. She's still there. Damn. I hoped I was hallucinating. That's her, though, isn't it? The one assigned to whip me into shape. Thought she was supposed to come up in a couple of days. Better be nice.
Hi, I was sleeping. Sorry. Oh, don't be sorry. Sorry I woke you up. I'm just really excited. I've never been to the moon before. I could just die. I've never even been in space at all. Is this your first time?
The words spill out in a rush.
No. Oh, good. So you're a veteran. You can tell me all about it when we're on our way there. Father,
She fishes for his name. Actually, if you'll forgive me, I was hoping to get some sleep. She shuts up at this rebuke. BC closes his eyes, but he can feel her energy shift from excited to agitated as she quietly continues to try to shove her bag beneath the seat in front of her and ready herself for takeoff. Her nonverbal grunts and grrs as she strains get louder, until she lets out an exasperated woof. BC opens his eyes again. One of the attendants is standing in the aisle next to Reverend Swan.
Reverend, ma'am, we can stow that for you in back. It's really too large for that space.
But it's my bag.
It won't be safe there during the trip, ma'am. Please?
All right. Here, she says, and hands the tote up to the attendant.
The attendant struggles to lift and hold the bag, then turns and manages it back down the aisle.
Sorry, Swan says when she sees he's awake again. So, you're going to the moon, too?
Be pretty foolish of me to be on this ship if I wasn't, huh?
BC shifts in his seat,
So you're a wise guy too, huh? I bet you I know who you are. You're Father Bernard Campion, aren't you? She asks, looking him in the eye with an air of certainty and triumph. Who? No, sorry. BC closes his eyes. Swan keeps talking. Really? I thought you might be. It'd be a huge coincidence, but it could happen. I'm supposed to work with another priest who's traveling up to the moon, too. I wasn't even supposed to be on this flight, but when I found out I could go early, I jumped at the chance. Are you sure you're not him? BC doesn't open his eyes. I'm sure. You wouldn't lie to another priest, would you, Father? BC mumbles a negative and pretends to fall back asleep. A sharp pain lances through his temples. He sits up involuntarily. Are you okay? She asks. She sounds so far away. Whoa, I don't think so. When BC comes to, he's being smothered by Swan's sickly sweet perfume as she tries to prop him up. The attendant arrives with a hot towel for his forehead. You okay, Father? You blacked out, started to slide down to the floor, Swan asks with concern.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm okay now. I get migraines, BC says, pulling away from her ministrations.
Yeah, looks like you got a whopper, she says, as she settles back in her seat.
I just need to sleep, BC says, closing his eyes again. The towel feels good on his forehead.
Oh, sorry, Father. I didn't mean to bother you. I'll try to be quieter, so you can sleep.
Was that a hint of sarcasm in the Reverend's voice? I wonder.
BC sleeps and the shuttle lifts off, carrying them to Lunar Prime. BC doesn't wake up until they are just minutes from landing. The Reverend Swan, as good as her word, has been silent during the entire 8-hour flight.
At least, she didn't say anything to me that I could hear. What a dead sleep. I must really have been tired.
BC leans over to look out the viewport at the approaching moonscape. Reagan Station, Lunar Prime.
Almost looks like home. Been gone a while.
BC watches the buildings, domes, passageways, and bunkers grow closer. Then, something catches the corner of his eye.
Flash!
It's there for all of 2 seconds, but it's there.
Was that a flasher?
A flasher. Another one. Same type of ship. It didn't look alien, but it didn't look like any human ship I've seen either.
Damn!
BC feels his head split with sharp pain, like an ice pick through his skull. He has to close his eyes, feels his consciousness swim, then disappear. He only comes to when the Reverend Swan shakes him awake.
Father, we're here! We're on the moon! Wake up!
Head's still bugging you? Maybe it's the cabin pressure.
I'm sure I'll see you again, Father. Probably in church, huh?
I'm going now.
Goodbye,
BC says groggily. Swan gives him a puzzled look, then turns to make her way down the aisle.
Gotta get my shit together. Wonder if I did see that ship. Damn headaches. Where'd they come from?
Where'd that ship come from? Contrary to the testimony of the late Captain Longju, that one was awfully close to the moon. What if they're actually locals? Gotta be based somewhere. It looks like a transspace ship, though, so it could be based anywhere between here and Mars. Maybe in orbit. The moon is a big place, too, though. Makes me wonder.
Sir, Father, are you all right?
What? BC looks up. The attendant is standing in the aisle next to his row.
You're the last one on board. It's time to get off.
Right, thanks.
Whoa. Feeling kind of out of it. Gotta wake the fuck up.
BC gets up, gets off the ship, and makes his way through the Lunar Prime spaceport and heads back to his rooms in the Vatican mission. Lunar Prime is bustling. People everywhere, rushing to work, back home, on errands, social calls. Normal life continues for most people. BC does notice a couple of businesses are closed, shut up and dark.
If I remember right, those were Muslim-owned businesses.
They've no doubt left, since their government is attacking us. Looks like there have been even more attacks. There's construction everywhere. Maybe our section again, too. We've got to do something to better defend ourselves here. They're gunning for us. You know, I really hope it's not my fault.
BC turns off the main concourse and walks down the smaller corridor that leads to the Vatican mission on the moon. Everything's shiny and bright, well lit.
Everything looks normal, but I don't know. It feels different somehow. Probably just me. I'm different. I felt all right when I was at the Vatican back on Earth. It's just since I got on that ship this morning. Maybe I did get these headaches back at the Vatican, but just don't remember? Is that possible? What did they do to me out there on that crazy station? How many of those drugs they laced my food with are still in my system? They checked me out back in Rome, but what if there's shit they missed? Too many questions. I don't like it.
There are too many messages waiting for him back in his rooms. BC checks the most recent, then stores the others away for the future. The two most recent messages are from the Cardinal and Mark Edwards.
Hello, Campion.
The Cardinal's message begins. The Cardinal sounds more somber than usual.
Welcome back. I'll check in with you later today. There's something I want to discuss with you.
He doesn't sound like his usual bubbly self. Wonder what's up?
Edward's message is next.
BC, I hear you're back today. Glad you're alive and well. Thought you were going to be gone a couple of weeks, not almost half a year. Hope you're okay at all. Call me when you've settled in. See you then.
Thanks for caring, Mark.
BC's conversation with Mbeke comes back to mind.
Nah, I don't think he's gay. Does he have a girlfriend? Man, I need a girlfriend. A little female companionship would be nice. And I'm not talking about the quality time I'm going to have to spend with the Reverend Swan.
BC looks around.
Funny, this place really does feel like home. Rome was okay, and I sure don't miss my little closet on Fortune Station. It's nice to come back here. I'll return my messages later.
He sinks down on his bed and falls fast asleep. BC dreams no dreams, just a deep, long night's sleep. He still wakes up feeling hungover.
Did I go on a bender last night?
I don't remember. He checks his new messages. 34.
34 messages? Man, I just got back. Who's calling me like this? Wait a sec, what's this?
The most current message is dated 4 days after the date he got back.
I've been out cold for 4 days?
The Reverend Swan has been most persistent. At least 10 of the messages are from her, both voice and text.
Seems I missed a meeting yesterday. So sorry, Swan.
The Cardinal and Edwards left several each as well. Edwards' most recent is from yesterday, early. He actually sent a med tech to BC's room to check on his health.
He went in on my orders, found you sleeping. He says you're fine, but deep asleep.
Edwards says in the message.
He said to let you rest. You must need it. I'll talk to you when you get up. Later.
I should feel better for having slept so long. Maybe I should see a doctor, if I get a spare minute. Got some mad catching up to do.
BC's head begins to clear as he gets up, showers, cleans up, and dresses for the day. By the time he's shaved, he feels fine. He looks at himself in the mirror.
I look okay, I guess. My eyes look clear, not bloodshot, pupils normal, responsive, just my usual ugly self. Maybe older. I think the cult experience has aged me. No gray yet. That's good. Maybe I just needed to catch up with myself, process all the shit I've been through. Hope there's no permanent damage.
BC's room comm goes off. Edwards is on the line.
Hey, BC, how are you? I was worried about you, man.
Yeah, I guess I needed some rest, huh? I've been through a lot in these last couple months. I'm okay now.
Good, good. When you've got some time to spare in the next day or two, look me up, okay? It'll be good to catch up with you. Plus, I've got a couple things I want to ask you about. Get your opinion on. Give me a call, all right?
Sure, Mark, I will. Gotta find out what the Cardinal needs from me first, but once I do, I'll call you. Thanks for being a friend, Mark. Edward sounds a little embarrassed.
Hey, BC, I don't have a lot of friends, so I try to take care of the ones I do have, you know? Later.
Campion?
The Cardinal's comm cuts in as Edward signs off.
Father Campion, are you there?
Yes, Cardinal, I'm here.
You feeling better?
Yes, sir, I am. Thanks for asking.
Good. Come see me at once.
Sure, I will, sir. Be right there. He sounds weird. Bossy for him, too. Tense and nervous. BC gets dressed in basic blacks, checks his collar in the mirror, then sets off to see the Cardinal. The Cardinal's secretary waves him in.
Go ahead, Father. He's expecting you.
The Cardinal rises behind his desk.
Ah, Father Campion. Good to see you're still in one piece. Come in. Sit down.
He sits back down. BC sits down across from the Cardinal in a chair in front of the desk. He sounds more normal than he did on the comm. That's good. Silence ensues. BC and the Cardinal sit across from each other. Neither says a word. The Cardinal looks down at his empty desktop, as if studying something BC can't see. BC just waits. Preoccupied by something, he isn't even looking up at me. What is up with this? After a long few minutes, the Cardinal looks up, looks BC in the eyes.
I just recently found out about your last mission. The one that kept you away so long.
What?
You're surprised, I know. I'm not supposed to know these things.
The Cardinal laughs nervously.
Usually, I don't want to. But this time I do. And I hear you. What? I don't know. What do you call it in your line of work? What? Eliminated? Neutralized? Fixed? Took care of? Whatever. I hear you've killed the one who called himself the Light.
Wow, entirely unexpected.
I can see you're surprised I know this. Well, I have my reasons for knowing. But is it true? Was it you? Did you kill him? Was that your mission?
I really don't know what to tell you, Cardinal.
Guess you can't say, eh? Top secret or something like that?
Something like that.
Is he dead?
Look, Cardinal, I really can't...
He is dead, isn't he? I can see it in your eyes, Campion.
What can I say?
Did you know he was an old friend of mine? The Light.
The Cardinal asks. He doesn't wait for an answer, just goes on.
We were in seminary together all those ages ago. Seems like another life, another world ago now.
Really? This I didn't know. Small world. Small fucking universe.
He was once a good man, Campion. A true man of God. He truly believed.
He believed until the end, Cardinal. The Cardinal snaps to full attention, eyes on fire at BC's tacit admission.
So you did kill him?
Whoa, back boy. No, I did not kill him. But he is dead. I'm sorry you've lost your friend. The Cardinal calms down.
I lost him a long time ago, Campion. But you did go there, to his station, to kill him?
What the hell? Yes, I did, under orders. But I failed. They captured me, dosed me with God knows what drugs, and tried to brainwash me. It was torture. They made me read the Bible all the time. BC chuckles, trying to lighten the mood.
I don't see the humor in any of this, Campion,
the Cardinal says darkly. No, I see that. Jeesh. Look, he meant well, but in the end, one of his own people killed him because they felt he had lost his way. They used me to help them, and then they let me go and set me up as an absentee leader, a figurehead for them to work behind.
So, did you get to know him before the end?
Pardon?
Did you get to know the light?
Sort of.
Did you think he was a good man?
Honestly?
Honestly.
No. BC shakes his head. I don't think anyone who sets himself up as a god or God's sole representative is a good man. I think he was delusional. He might have meant well, started out good, but he couldn't see his own faults. See where he was going, what he was doing. Plus, he had them starve me, drug me, keep me in the dark for extended periods, mess with my head. Those aren't the tactics of a good man, Cardinal.
Yet you have changed, and I think, maybe, for the better. I can see that in your eyes, Father. Maybe not brainwashed, but he got to you, didn't he?
Maybe, in some way, BC admits grudgingly. But I never bought his philosophies. I did what I had to get out of there, but I'm not born again or anything like that.
Well, he was never into the old born again thing,
the Cardinal protests. You know what I mean. Born into his whole Back to the Future deal, wearing robes on a space station, getting back to the first century from a mile high in orbit. Somehow, I never could see the early Christians living like astronauts. Still, I did learn a lot. I actually read the Bible. There is some validity to the light's arguments that the church isn't what it was originally intended to be, what Jesus wanted it to be.
He still taught that, eh? And they wear robes?
The Cardinal begins to relax a little.
You have been changed, Campion. Maybe more than you know. And I trust you when you say you didn't kill him. You didn't, right?
No, sir, I did not. I give you my word, for what it's worth. It was one of his own.
Thank you, Campion.
BC feels like the meeting is over, and gets up to leave. I guess the Cardinal heard what he needed to hear. But how the hell did he know all that? He had to know someone either on the station, or somehow affiliated with them.
Campion.
BC stops, answers the Cardinal. Yes?
Will things get back to, well, more normal now?
He looks up at BC with pain in his eyes. BC feels the need to reassure him. Depending on how you define normal, Cardinal, yeah, I think so. It's really up to the UIN, when you think about it.
Warmongers! They hate us. You know that, don't you, Campion? It's them you should be fixing.
The Cardinal spits out. Of course. Didn't mean to set him off. I'll check back with you later, Cardinal. I've got to go see the governor.
Very well, then, Campion.
The Cardinal looks back down at his desk, again as if studying something BC cannot see. Thank you, sir, BC says, and turns to go. He leaves the Cardinal's study and heads back towards his rooms. Glad that's over with. How could I know the light and the Cardinal were old buds? And how did he know what I was up to? Maybe my cover is blown. BC turns the corner onto the corridor leading down to his rooms and groans. The Reverend Charlena Swan is standing directly in front of the doorway to his quarters. He tries to turn around before she spots him, but she sees him all the same. She shouts after him, "Father Campion!" As he casually walks away, she runs up after him. "Oh, no, Father, you're not getting away from me again. I know who you are now." She passes him and stands directly in front of him. A tall woman, she glares at him eye to eye. "You know it's not nice to lie to a fellow priest, Father Bernard Campion." "Sorry about that. I try to travel incognito, part of the job." "You should have known that." BC keeps up a brave face. "Mysterious BS from BC, how apropos, how OPO!" Swan laughs at her own wordplay. "Do you mind?" BC says in a loud whisper, giving Swan a sharp look. "We're in a fucking public corridor. Shut up about the OPO." "Sorry, secret agent man," she says, undeterred. "I've been assigned to you by the Pope himself, and I have the Cardinal's blessing to take up your time for training. And you've already lied to me and avoided me. You haven't returned any of my messages." "I've been out of it for the last couple days, literally, Blacked out for 4 days straight. You can check the medical records if you want. Those headaches, like on the shuttle? That was no act, I could tell. You were in pain. I felt bad for you until I found out who you were and how you'd lied to me. Geesh, all right already. Yeah, I'm a little worse for wear after my last assignment. I needed some downtime to recuperate. But I'll work with you. The Pope told me I had to. Yeah, he told me to make you more priest, less PR man. She laughs. Did he now? The bastard. Look, Father, I'm not a hard person to get along with. This doesn't have to be a painful process. I teach priests and seminarians all the time, and no one has been killed or even maimed. She looks down her nose at him. Up until now. So let's get started.
What, started maiming?
BC shakes his head when she just glares back at him. A joke? Come on. Fine, we'll get started, only not right now. You sound like Augustine. She shakes her head. Why not right now? No time like the present. Sure, right, but look, I've got an appointment with the governor right now, okay? I've got important business, church business, to attend to. I'm talking about important church business of yours, too.
Persistent.
Yes, you are. Fine. Later on, we'll start. For now, you'll have to excuse me. BC turns and walks back to the door to his quarters. Swan follows behind him. Don't think you've escaped me, Father, she says. I have it on the highest authority. Your holy ass is mine, at least 3 hours a day.
Damn, is that smoke coming out of her ears?
I'll see you this afternoon at 3, she tells him. She turns and storms off down the corridor.
Oh, I can see this is going to be fun.
BC opens the door to his quarters, ducks inside, and closes and locks it behind him.
Free at last.
He walks without stopping through his living room to his bedroom. He sits down on the bed and rubs his face with both hands. A lingering flicker of a headache is lurking just beyond his attention, glimmering like mirrors on the periphery of his sight, and somehow behind his eyes at the same time.
Trying not to pay it any attention, hoping it goes away. Swan didn't help it any, that's for sure. It's almost a little like vertigo, or the remains of a bad hangover. It could be a bad drug hangover from the psychedelic cocktails they fed me on Fortune Station. It could be. Even a month later, though? I don't know. Well, gotta call Mark.
Get me a Governor Edwards, BC calls out to the comm. After a short pause, the comm dings him back to let him know Edwards is on the line.
Edwards here.
Hey, Mark, it's BC. Still want to do some lunch?
Have we scheduled lunch?
Edwards is confused. You were my excuse to get out of a couple meetings, so I was hoping... Edwards laughs.
That's fine. It could be my excuse to get out of a couple things here, too. Want to meet me here in about a half hour?
Sure, that sounds good. Half an hour.
See you then.
The comm clicks off, and BC sits in the silence, rubbing his eyes, his temples, thinking.
Silence is bliss. Damn, Peter, for sicking Swan on me. She's a piece of fucking work. Can't stand her already. She seems more like the Cardinal's type of priest than Pope Peter's. I'm tempted to call and complain, but it'd do no good. No good at all. I'd like to believe that maybe it's just massive stress causing these headaches. But deep down, I know it's not just stress. It's not like a concussion or a hangover. It's more, what? Echoey, I guess? Things echo. And things shine, too. Like the flicker and glimmer of mirrors in the corners of my eyes. The echo and the shine. Just all too much all at once. And all I want to do is make it stop. Make it stop.
BC feels the shimmering ease. The echoing stops. He drops his hands, opens his eyes again. He blinks.
There. I think I'm okay. For now. Wish that worked every time.
Chapter 23. An hour and a half later, BC and Mark Edwards
are finishing lunch at one of the burger joints off the main dome. BC feels really good for the first time in months. Happy almost. Don't want to think that too hard. Might jinx it. You were right about the California burger. The guacamole was really rich.
We just had a good avocado harvest from Hydro. Report crossed my desk yesterday. Sometimes being the governor can be an asset in ways you'd never imagine,
Edward says with a little chuckle. He finishes his own burger off with a final bite and a smile as he chews. BC feels someone approach from behind.
Hello, Father Campion. What a coincidence.
Swan. So much for happiness. Maybe I did jinx myself. She walks around and smiles down at the governor and BC as she stands between them, tableside. Reverend Swan, how good to see you again. I'm having lunch.
Looks like you had lunch, Father. Was it good?
Edwards clears his throat.
BC, you going to introduce me?
BC grudgingly remembers his manners. Sorry, Mark. Governor Mark Edwards, may I introduce the Reverend Charlena Swan? Edwards stands and shakes her hand.
Reverend?
Governor, nice to meet you. You have a nice city here.
Thank you.
I love this dome. I'm checking out the stores and restaurants. I have some time to kill before I meet with the father here at 3.
Ugh.
BC groans. Edwards and Swan both look at him. BC laughs a nervous laugh.
Did I say that out loud?
Swan shakes her head.
Well, as I was saying before I was interrupted, I'm enjoying exploring your city, Governor. I'll be on my way now.
She looks at BC.
It's good to see everything here is just as I was told it would be.
She turns back to Edwards.
I was told Lunar Prime's main dome is beautiful. And it is.
She nods.
Governor Edwards, Father, see you shortly.
She turns and walks away.
She seems nice,
Edwards says.
I don't see why you don't like her. You know,
he lowers his voice,
you could have been nicer.
BC explodes.
Nicer? She was checking up on me.
What?
She was checking up on me. Checking up to see that I was actually having lunch with you, with the governor.
You heard her. BC imitates her voice, adding some bitchiness.
Just making sure everything here is just as I was told it would be.
She was complimenting the dome, and anyway, why would she be checking up on you in the first place? Is she your new boss?
Mark asks him. Far from it. But she was assigned by the Pope to train me in some of my priestly shortcomings. So she has something on me. I have to spend 3 hours a day with her for the next couple months, learning what I'm supposed to already know. She's supposed to teach me to be a better priest.
So why check up on you?
Like I told you when I called you for lunch? You were my excuse.
To get away from her?
Her and the Cardinal.
Edward smiles.
You're funny sometimes, BC. Why wouldn't she believe you were having lunch with the governor? Is it that far-fetched?
No, I don't think so, but I lied to her before.
When was that?
When I first met her, on the shuttle trip back here. She sat next to me. She asked me if I was Father Bernard Campion. I kind of said I wasn't, so she'd leave me alone.
So you got off to a real good start with her, huh?
Edward says sarcastically. Yeah.
Still, she seems okay, BC,
Edward says sympathetically. You just don't know her yet, BC insists, shaking his head.
What do you call a female priest, anyway?
Edwards asks, innocently.
BC jumps at the opening.
Reverend is acceptable, but I prefer pain in the ass.
So, Reverend Swan is going to teach you to be a priest, huh?
Not if I can help it.
You sound like a kid trying to ditch school, BC.
Edwards laughs.
How many lessons have you had so far?
None yet. I've been out cold the last 4 days, you know that. But I don't think she believes that entirely either.
Oh. There's the head thing again. Sharp pain. Almost a noise.
BC? You all right, BC?
Mark asks.
Man, I don't know. I've been getting these headaches. Like I told you over lunch, they drugged me up pretty good a few times on that station. I think these headaches may be like the aftershock, the after effects of the drugs. This really sucks. BC pinches the bridge of his nose and tries to think the pain away again.
Your eyes just rolled back in your head, like you were possessed or something. Not a pretty sight.
So sorry, BC winces. But I think I'm going to have to excuse myself, Mark, and go lie down for a little while.
Another headache coming on, huh? You should go to the infirmary. Get checked up on.
The doctors down at the Vatican poked and prodded me pretty thoroughly and found absolutely nothing wrong with me. I'm really not that thrilled at the thought of going through it all over again.
Our doctors might find something they missed, Edwards offers.
Maybe, BC says, as he stands, a little wobbly.
Just not right.
I'll see you later, Mark. I gotta go. BC walks off, trying hard not to stumble as he goes.
Feel like I might throw up.
He manages to keep it together and keep his California burger down all the way back to his quarters. The headache keeps trying to come on, insistent, refusing to yield. When he finally sits down on his bed, his stomach calms. The throbbing in his head eases somewhat.
Hope I didn't look drunk walking back here. Swan would love that. Probably go right into one of her reports to Pope Peter. Damn, I'm tired. I can't believe after sleeping for 4 days that I'm tired again already. What the fuck is wrong with me? What did they do to me?
BC lies down on his bed. He sees the message light blinking, but ignores it and drifts off into dreamless sleep. That was chapter 23, and we heard chapter 22 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th anniversary edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Special guest voice cameo in those chapters from Keith Hughes as Cardinal Anderson. And you can find Keith's work at penslinger.com. Gotta keep that California burger down. Poor BC feeling some unanticipated side effects from possibly the drugs and crap they dosed him with on Fortune Station. These crazy headaches he's getting now. Find out what's going on, or maybe find out what's going on as we get into our next chapter, chapter 24 of the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition, coming up next time on Glow in the Dark Radio. And again, there's new ebook pricing. So if you want to turn somebody on to my work, you can tell them that the books now, where they're not free, like Vatican Assassin is free many places. Alibi Jones is free many places. If it's not free, my novels are 99 cents each now, and the collections are just $2.99. New ebook pricing just announced. If you want to become a patron and help support this podcast, please go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the link to Patreon. You can do it for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. And my patrons keep everything going, so if you are one, many, many thanks. And be sure to look for your special patrons-only podcast with the episodes of Vatican Assassin, the chapters of this 15th anniversary edition, about 4 weeks ahead of time. 3 weeks now, because I combined these chapters, but, you know, still.
I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Hope you'll join me next time, once again, for Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.